Chief.
Perfect. Candia Board of Selectmen meeting for February 25th. It's 7 o'clock. We'll start with the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hello. Welcome, every boy. Small crowd. Okay, roll call.
Russ Dan, present.
Yeah, Boyd Shivers, present.
Scott Comisard, present.
Carlton Roby, present.
Susan Young. And Andrea, thank you. Did everybody get a chance to look at the minutes of February 11th?
Move the minutes of February 11th be accepted as presented.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'll open the public comment section. And I just want to remind anybody, if you have comments on anything that we're going to do during our business meeting, this is probably now the time to comment on it before we make decisions. Is there any public comment at this point? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Old business, Chad.
Chad's not going to make it tonight.
Okay. So the Donovan Road subdivision, we will postpone till he can get here? Oh, okay. No problem.
Could I just bring something up?
Yes, under old business, or?
Well, under that Donovan Road subdivision.
Okay.
I've kind of looked this over very carefully in the last couple of days, and I believe his intent is to subdivide that property on Donovan Road. The document we've been kind of using for guidance is on issuing a building permit on a Class 6 road. And you've got two different objectives here. I think we should advise Mr. Brandon that he should be following RSA 231:28, which is the conditional layout for existing private rights way or Class 6 highways. And this is what really governs what he's proposing here. When he wants to upgrade a Class 6 road to Class 5 standards for the purpose of subdividing it, this is what he should find. This is the RSA he should be following. This gives the abutters the opportunity to be heard, and it gives the abutters a 10-day period to object to any decision made by this board. So the RSAs are pretty clear on how you lay out a highway. And that's exactly what he's proposing.
He is for a subdivision.
Right.
That's why the planning board put it over to us. My understanding was we were trying to give him direction before he spent money on engineering to lay out a Class 5 road. I thought the board was trying to give him direction on that. So, in fact, he may not have that expense if it was the feeling of the board that it wasn't something that the board would support.
Okay.
I thought that's why we were meeting with him before. And again, he can always petition to do that anyway. So
that's fair enough. And I think it's important for this board to understand how this statute works. And I think it's important for this board to understand what the betterment assessments are.
And that's okay. Do you want to read that?
According to this, this is a little bit confusing. But once he lays out that road and this board approves it and the abutters don't object, then this board can assess, make a betterment assessment for the value of that road against all the people who benefit from it. Now, I'm not sure whether we can make a betterment assessment for expenses that we never incurred, or if we make a betterment assessment on behalf of the developer to recover money from the people who benefit from this. So there's really a lot of information we need to be aware of when we march down this road.
Right, and you're assuming that the board approves it.
If the board approves it. So I don't think anybody in this board has ever confronted the issue of a betterment assessment and how it's applied, and how it's applied in the case of a private developer. So this will satisfy some members' concerns that the abutters never got noticed, never get noticed. Well, they'll get noticed. They're required to get noticed if he comes in under RSA 231:28. That's when the abutters are heard.
Right, when he petitions, though, and when the board accepts, then we have the public hearing, then they're all the abutters, right, in that order.
I think we should tell Mr. Brannan to look up the statute, and if we are going to approve anything in this town, we're going to conform to this statute. This document right here, the development of Class 6 Road, this is just about issuing a building permit for no more than one dwelling within 600 feet of the intersection of the Class 5 Road. That's entirely different from what he's proposing up there on Donovan Road.
Okay, any other comments on that?
I'll comment on that briefly.
What's that?
Are you doing copies of this?
Sure, I can do this one. Yeah.
Okay, Carl.
That was Mr. Brennan's intent, and you're correct, Boyd. I did the same. I looked at this the last couple of weeks, and this has to do with the subdivision only, in which we don't subdivide on a Class 6 Road. That's why he's coming to us.
Right.
And if he owned all the way out to Chester Turnpike, that lot, except that corner lot that's there, he could improve that road to a standard of our town specification through our subdivision regs, upgrade that road, but it's not feasible to do that and only gain 3 house lots. And he doesn't own out to Chester Road, so he doesn't have complete access to do a road upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is laying out a new highway.
Well, this is building over a Class 6 Road.
That's building over a Class 6 Road.
It,
right.
It doesn't indicate whether it's how long it's going to be or where it terminates. But that's what that statute.
But. Okay,
so that says he can do it.
Yeah.
If he wants to.
If he
meets the criteria.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the same as our regulation.
He can petition the board.
To lay it out.
He can bring out a layout. He can petition the board with his layout. He can come in here. The board either accepts it or does not. That RSA doesn't say, yes, he can do it. Because like you said, he doesn't own on Chester Turnpike or whatever section of road that is. But this also addresses what we're going to do with Class 6 roads. So that was my interpretation of this document. So he really needs to be looking at both, and I believe he has. I think it was in the intent of this board to try to save the gentleman or whomever he's representing, trying to save them the money of not doing all the specs or doing engineering work that can be tens of thousands of dollars if, in fact, the board's intent was not to, under any circumstance, or if the majority intends not to approve this Class 6 road becoming a Class 5 road. So I think we were trying to save the gentleman and his, or whoever he represents, some money and give him direction. That's why it's come up. He's come before us once now, but this last week when I, or our last meeting when I said, be prepared to give him some direction on how the board or this current board feels about developing on a Class 6 road. That's all I wanted to do with him tonight. I didn't think it was going to be a long thing. It was just going to be this current board. Now it changes. It does change in a couple of weeks. But that would save him the money, the time, effort, and money of petitioning for a class to put in a Class 5 road on this Class 6 road if the current board is not of that philosophy. So I think that's why we were having him come back in tonight. And again, he still has the option to petition the board, but again, that's going to be an expensive thing because he's going to have to come in with plans. He's going to have engineering done prior to that. So I think we were trying to be, I don't want to say neighborly, but trying to save this gentleman some time, effort, and money.
So
if that was the intent of the current board.
At what point do we give more consensus then, or what our guidance?
Tonight, I was going to ask for, I was going to get opinions or try to take a vote as far as what the majority of the board, this current board, wanted to do. or what how they felt about that. We all know how we feel about it. Let's face it, this is nothing new. We've been talking about this for a while. I just wanted to give him that direction in a public meeting and go from there so he wouldn't spend time and money and effort. But he's not here, so we can't do that. So we will wait on that. And, Rudy, the chair of the planning board, I'm sorry. We don't usually get the public after this, but you're important.
From the planning board standpoint, because obviously we're heavily involved with this.
Yes, you are.
I've also done some research on it, too, and it's a little bit of a catch-22 situation because the RSA is specific in here that it's for lots that are existing on Class 6 roads. Mm-hmm. The lots don't exist, so it's a moot point as far as your Class 6 road policy goes, because that's to protect the people who, when the zoning laws were changed, they have a different situation. So that's one thing. The other thing in the RSAs in planning is that he theoretically can come forward to the planning board with a subdivision plan. As part of the requirements for the subdivision plan, the RSA also in case law says that the planning board has the authority to require the upgrades of any access road to a subdivision. And the roads would have to be brought up to town standards. So it could be sent back to the planning board, from what I'm reading in here. We can check with legal counsel to make sure that is true, but from what I can see in here, it would take that off because it's the whole thing with your board right now doing anything because it's not applicable. It goes back to either are the RSA saying that yes, he can request a subdivision as part of the subdivision, the requirements, if it's approved, the requirements can require that road, that access road, which would be Donovan Road, is brought up to town standards with proper hammerheads at the end of it, things along that whole line. So that's what I got out of researching it.
And I was under the impression that the planning board didn't have the authority to take a Class 6 and make it into a 5, that he would, in fact, have to come and petition the Board of Selectmen, but I might be wrong on that.
No, that's what the original thought was.
Mm-hmm.
When we first looked at it, it's like, we can't do a subdivision on a Class 6 road.
Right.
However, the law is pretty straightforward in that he can come to the planning board, but it can either be denied or accepted based on the fact that you're going to accept upgrading the access road to town standards. Not unlike what's going on, or what went on with Crowley Woods,
mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, it's an access road that has to be upgraded to town standards, and that's where the whole concern is right now. So it's entirely up to you, you know, like I said, but from what I can read here from the planning board standpoint, it could go back to the planning board.
If that's the case, why did you kick it to the Board of Selectmen at all?
No, but we would have to hold public hearings on the road upgrades and the butters and all that other, you know, stuff.
Right, but why are we involved at this point if we didn't have to be? I mean,
I don't think so. From, like I said, from what I could read and from what I could research in here, the policy that you're looking at only applies to existing lots. And then you did, I believe, mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I believe the board approved the building lot, a building permit for the house that's currently on that lot. So
it's before my time.
The board did what legally you should have done, because you did approve a building lot for that existing
lot. A single.
Lot.
Right.
Right. One house, or I mean, one building permit for the lot. And that is, I think, is the key.
Yes.
That's what that policy.
Right.
Dennis wants to talk.
Dennis.
Yeah. What Rudy's saying, I think, only applies if he owned the access road.
Right.
He doesn't, and neither right. does the town. We only have an easement to cross over those people's property with Donovan Road. The abutters
right.
own to the middle of Donovan mm-hmm. Road, and we have an easement. So we can't say what that individual can do on someone else's property. That easement can only be used by the town of Canton. So that's why it's back in the selectmen's hands, because the selectmen, you're in charge of that easement.
Right.
No one else is. So
yeah, that's what I thought.
That's how it ended up back
right.
in the
right.
lap.
town.
Unless he owned up to Chester Turnpike and he wanted to take half his road and half of his land and build a road.
I see.
Yes.
And then he could have a road.
But he doesn't own all the way, like you said.
He doesn't own that first 200 or 150 feet.
So it is, in fact, has the selectmen the only one, it's your easement and you can, the only ones that can exercise that.
That's what I thought it was.
And the upgrades, the reason it goes back to you and not like subdivision standard is because very few of those roads are the proper width for what we would require for subdivision, which is a 60-foot right-of-way. And I don't know what Donovan Road is. I haven't done a lot of research on it, but it's probably a two-rod, maybe a three-rod road, so it's under 50 feet.
It's four rods.
It's four rod?
Four rod.
Okay, so it is 60 feet. So you would have a four-rod road. You could still make him go to subdivision standards, but I don't know how you would ever get that to fit in there. You'd never have the site distance looking east, any of those things. So, I mean, you can't give permission to have him do work on someone else's property.
Boyd?
Well, Carl, I'd just like to clarify what you just said. If he owned all the land, and he could use half of his, half of Donovan Road for half the road and his land for the other half.
Sure, right. He could build a road to town specifications, to our subdivision regs, but he doesn't own the beginning of it to get from there to there.
Into.
And even then, you would have to, you can't just take half, he'd be using half of your easement, and what would you do with the other people on Donovan Road?
Agreed.
I mean, you can't leave them out of the picture. I suppose you could go in, turn it, and go in, but.
Well, they'd have to extend their driveways out to the new road.
Out to the new road and.
Over there 30 feet.
Right.
Okay.
Which would be awkward.
But if he owned all the land, he wouldn't even need our easement. He could just build it 60 foot right away, right down through it. Build his own road, paralleling Donovan Road.
That's correct.
Right, okay.
Okay, Rudy?
Yeah, I think Dennis has a good point that I think needs to be clarified, because the plans that the chat had presented is listing Donovan Road as a 66 foot right of way. Four rod layout dated November 30th, 1837. Class 6 road, gravel 14 feet plus or minus wide. That's what's on the road right now. So I think that's where the delineation needs to be done. Is it an easement or is it a listed right of way?
Well, we don't have a deed for it. I know we don't have a deed for that.
Okay.
Why do we have a set of plans out here in the audience? And Mr. Vernon came to us and I talked about plans and I talked about what do you plan on doing, and we got a set of plans out here. What he plans on doing this? We've been here for 3 months talking about this. I'm like, what the heck?
Right, but that's not for the road. That's not the road, is it?
He just said it shows a 66 foot road.
Right, well, how about we give Mr. Brennan benefit of the doubt and ask him again if he can make another one, and then.
Did he excuse himself tonight?
He's not feeling well, so he can't be here tonight.
Our new subdivision roads that we have a deed for.
Right.
And I don't think we ever have too many for the new subdivision roads. So any old road, even High Street out here, isn't owned by the state. That's an easement.
Let me just make one quick comment.
Yes, of course.
If we come at this situation again and somebody goes to the planning board and the planning board kicks them back to the selectmen, please forward the information that you have.
Yes.
In your presence, on with the applicant, that would be
the decision easier.
Pretty helpful.
Yeah. That might make it a little bit easier for us. Maybe not much, but maybe just a little bit.
I'm surprised that you didn't get any.
Well, I am too.
Okay.
All right.
I'm happy to share this with you before. It's like,
okay. Well, maybe not tonight, but we can certainly look at it at our leisure. How's that?
Never change.
So. We can look at that. That'll be available in the land use office?
It is, yeah, because they have an application in that's pending.
Right.
Because we have to stop until we got this issue resolved.
Right.
What can be done.
All right, that sounds good. So, gentlemen, are you in agreement? We'll ask Mr. Brennan to come back to our next meeting, and then we'll go from there. In the meantime, if you want to take a...
Look at that
and see if that helps at all. That would be great. Okay? Thank you. Anybody else under old business? We're all set there. We're going to move on.
Yep.
Good, I'm going to go into new business, and we're going to hold a public hearing regarding the question of permitting the operation of the New Hampshire Keno 603 game at qualifying establishments within the town on March 13. It's on the ballot. I'm going to open the public hearing. And I don't know if anyone has any comments on that. I just want to quickly refer you to a website. I am not an expert on this Keno. I know a little bit, but not a lot. You can certainly go to the state's website, or also there's another one, and it'll be in the minutes. It's nhmunicipal.org. Go to their website for some more information. And the lottery also has their own website on Keno. And all this hearing is doing is taking public comment. It is going to be on the ballot. We are not deciding tonight. It is going to the voters. They will decide on March 12th.
Public comment?
Yes.
Just a question. Why do we have to have a public hearing on it if it's going to go to the voters?
Because it's an RSA. You have to have it within not more than 15 days and less than 30. It's in the RSA when the whole Keno thing went down. It doesn't matter what year. If you bring it back up again, you have to have this public hearing.
Right. But it has no bearing on
tonight's,
if we said it.
If you hated it, that's lovely to hear, but it's the ballot box, from what I understand, that makes a difference. So, is everybody understanding what we are or aren't doing? Do you want to talk?
It just says, if your town has moved to put Keno on the warrant, which we did at the deliberative session, this requirement per House Senate Bill 191 and RSA 285:51, shall hold a public hearing 15 days, but not more than 30, before the question is moved to vote. All right? And between February 10th and February 25th.
Today, yeah. And we just made it.
Gets it under the border.
Okay.
Any public comment on Keno? There's none?
Okay. So I'll close the public hearing. Hearing none. And we will go on to John Dion, is it?
Yep, correct.
Welcome.
Thank
what
you.
Can we help you with?
Yes, I'm with Ragnar Reach to Beach Relay. We've been running through town, as you're probably aware, for 20 years now. This will be our 21st annual event. And we've been running down Main Street, then we take a left onto Chester Road. Mm-hmm. And a few years back, we'd go just continue right on Chester Road and out of town. About 4 or 5 years ago, there was one complaint of noise. Mm-hmm. And so we veered off of Palmer to Brown, then back onto Chester. And so our race is a little over 200 miles. We're trying to keep it under 200 miles, so we're trying to shave a few miles here and there. And that would, shave off about 3/4 mile for us. And just wondering if we can go back to that route that we did before. And that was, what I'm just asking for at this point.
Perfect. Does the chief have any comment or opinion, or you just?
Yeah, I think the point, it's a straight line, basically.
Right.
Not a straight line, but it's a straight shot over to Chester. Makes sense to keep it on the main road instead of cutting down through the neighborhoods. We haven't had any complaints on it for a few years, several years, more than that, so I have no issues with it.
And I know Palmer Road, it's a little bit of it's almost a blind spot taking that right. So it's kind of a tough turn for runners to take.
Well, right, you have the vans and everything else,
exactly.
And I understand.
Exactly, so make it a little safer for us and shave some miles.
Is the board in agreement of that, or any comments?
I admire anybody who could run from Bretton Woods to Hampton Beach.
Well, it is a relay.
I was going to say, I think they change a little bit.
We've got a couple teams who have done 2 and 4 members only.
Wow.
I checked your website today. Some of those are 6-minute miles, huh?
Yeah, there's a few that can keep it up there. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
It is amazing. Some of those guys. I'm a runner, too. I don't do the race. I have to work it every year.
Yeah.
But my sons have done it a number of times. So
yeah, really. So, I mean, I would be in support of rerouting that thing to accommodate these people.
Okay, is the board on agreement on that? I don't know if we need a motion. Did we move to take it off it? Okay.
On that.
All right, I'll make a motion to go back to the original.
Straight Chester Road?
To stay on Chester Road just for safety and concerns. okay? Any other comments from the board? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Good job. Do you know Charlie from Charles Engineering? He used to do the whole thing here.
I don't know him, but I don't get involved with the registration. I do all the permitting and all the other stuff and work with the whole.
You'll still stop at the fire department, huh, for breakfast?
Yes, we still do.
Okay, good. Liking it. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, appreciate it.
Of course.
All right, good evening.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with that.
Good evening.
Thank you, John.
Okay. The next item, I just wanted to ask, and again, there'll be a new board in a couple of weeks. We have several policies that are quite old, and I was wondering if you gentlemen were in agreement, if every meeting, or maybe even just the second meeting, we take a couple of these policies and review them to keep them updated. Is that something that's?
We always do that.
Okay.
We should review the ones that you want to update in the office before we.
Oh, for sure, before we sit here for an hour and talk about it. So what we'd, if with your support, we'd try to get on it right now. What's going to be at the next meeting to give everybody 2 weeks to maybe add or subtract or give opinions, and then we'll bring it to the board meeting. Is that agreeable?
We have a whole book of policies back there.
We have two. We have two. Yes.
So we can go through that and pick out the ones you think need.
Well, I did, and I took everything that was not current. I have a list of them.
Okay.
I just thought that way. This is one probably that
might. Are we going to limit it to so many evening?
Yes, I just thought if you did two or three, some of them are very simple, like the buying of office supplies. It's an old policy that I think needs to be updated, but I mean, it's just some of them are from 2007, 2005, that need to be updated. And so if we just did a couple at each meeting or, you know, something like that, I think if we have a real short one, it wouldn't take, you know, forever to go through.
We'll start that next.
Yes, is that okay?
Sure.
All right.
Excellent.
All right, that sounds good. I just wanted to run it by you guys. Planning board update, Mr. Cartier.
Thank you.
And they do all have they have a list of all these things.
Yeah, I'll get a copy of that too. One of the things I'd like to do as the chair of the planning board is come to the board of selecting every once in a while to kind of give you an update on what's going on, any issues that we have coming up, and stuff. Some of the stuff that we're working on. What I did is I've gone through all of the regulations and all of the documents that are affecting the planning board right now, and came up with a number of items that the planning board has responsibility for doing, so I wanted to just to give you an update on some of those. One of the ones is, we just finished up, as a matter of fact, last weekend, we just finished the update for all of the subdivision regulations, major site plan, subdivisions, earth regulations and everything. That was a long process. It was almost a two-year process. A lot of people spent a lot of time. We went through every single word in all of those documents and came up with a revision. That should be ready this week. We're hoping to go to a public hearing on March 20th to accept those. That's the plan at this point in time. So that was a major undertaking by the board, the members of the board and members of the public, and some of the department heads have done a lot of work on. The final one we had to do was we upgraded the fire protection regulations with Chief Young just last week, which was very productive. I think we've got really, really good regulations right now that are going to be common sense based. So I know that some of the members of the board of selectmen were involved very heavily in that too, which was a great contribution.
May I stop you for 1 second now? On March 20th, is your intent to have that public hearing just on the subdivision regs or all the regs that
all
you updated?
Regs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be in all the updated regulations.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the tentative plan right now. We're just waiting to hear back from Stantec just to make sure we have everything ready to go. And we should be reviewing that on the 6th of March to make sure that we've got everything. That we need to go to public hearing. it's gonna be much easier for developers and the town and building officials to make sure that we have good regulations that are understandable. One of the things that I noticed when I was looking at the updated regulations on the website, the master plan that's on the website that says current is not current. So we're gonna try to get that updated. There was an issue with that where the planning board approved the current master plan, mm-hmm. but it was never signed off by the town clerk. So that's in process right now, so we can get that up and running on the website, because in theory, it's not valid unless it's signed by the town clerk. That shouldn't be too much of a problem. Some of the stuff that we're looking at to plan for and address, we're completing the current regulation update and we're going to do the scheduled public hearing. We're now looking at doing the application checklist for the major, minor subdivisions, major site plans, and lot line adjustments. What we're trying to do is make it so that anybody who comes in can get information that they know is just a checklist. That here's the information you need to provide to the board up front. We've had some issues where we've gone over and around for public or continuations of hearings from many, many meetings. Mm-hmm. We want to try to avoid that. And also when they need to get the information into us so we can do it properly. One of the things the planning board is responsible for overseeing is the update of the capital improvement plan. The current plan does expire next year. So that's one thing that we'll take the lead on. There's going to be obviously a lot of involvement by a lot of departments and a lot of boards to update that plan too. We're also looking very closely at the zoning ordinances this year too. There were some good suggestions that came up. They were really close to the end of the year, so we couldn't give them the justice that they really needed. The ones that we feel that need to be looked at so far are animal husbandry, basically the agricultural regulations. Home businesses, large gatherings and festivals, looked at the elderly housing projects again, and just some miscellaneous housekeeping items that are in the zoning ordinances that need to be updated. Excuse me, I have a slight cold. One of the other things that we want to do is take a look at all the maps to make sure that they're updated. We found in some cases in the hearings that we've had is that like floodplain maps, There's information that's not on the floodplain maps. It came out to be very, very important to us. And one of the things was is that, fortunately, Dennis, as the road agent, has more information on where flooding happens in town than FEMA does.
He does now.
And what we want to do is we want to capture that information and get it onto our maps so that anybody who comes and takes a look at it will say, we can say, look, this is the actual situations in Candia, instead of going around and around. FEMA's down in Boston and stuff. They don't care about what Candia is, but Dennis, of course, cares what Candia is because he has to go out and answer the complaints of all the neighbors. So I think that'll be good that we do that. The unsuitable land we want to take a look at, whether it's slope problems, wetlands, others, conservation land, make sure those are updated. Soil types to make sure that we've got some good information on that. But again, there was some information that was sent to me by Jim Franklin that really wasn't in the soil maps that we have, that kind of information should be captured. And then things with aquifers to make sure that there's water areas that we can take care of and in the watersheds. One of the reasons we want to do this is I've been looking, and it's interesting because I got a couple of articles sent to me on zoning and the minimum acreage for zoning. I asked the question many months ago, why do we have 3-acre zoning? And no one really knew. It was probably thought it was a good idea. What's happening now is towns are being challenged on that. So what we want to be able to do is have all this data that gives us the opportunity to say, this is why we have this level of minimum acreage in there. So that we have something solid to stand on. And if someone challenges us, then here's the data that says we're doing this properly and we're not doing exclusive zoning or anything like that.
Exclusionary.
Right. So we want to make sure the town's protected. We want to work with the board on the classic road policy.
Jump right in.
RSA 674-41. Well, but the, This one has to do, doesn't have to do with the Crowley Woods project, but it is on the transportation plan that the committee had put on, and that's the Crowley Road Lane Road intersection, which is a very dangerous intersection at this point in time. So we want to, we'll see how that would work out. We haven't gotten anything or any information whatsoever on the Crowley Woods project. We have no idea where that stands, other than the fact that Chester said, they said it's okay as long as Candy says
yeah, it's up to Candy.
Thanks. The other thing that we want to take a look at is the traffic impact fee regulations to make sure that that's current. That's supposed to be updated every few years, and it hasn't been.
May I stop you there again?
Sure.
I don't want to be the only one talking here if others have something. For impact fees, as far as right now, it's just for the recycling center and roads.
Right.
If in fact we wanted to, I mean, at some point, if you're going to develop a lot, I assume it's going to impact your schools, it'll impact. From what I understand right now, the impact fees can only be used for the section of road that it affects. And I don't know how they figure recycling, how many cans or barrels a household uses. How do you maybe do something a little bit more open where if in fact it does affect the school or say it just affects the fire protection or that type of thing or the police department, how do you make it a little bit more open so that it's not just, and no offense, Dennis, but it's not just the roads and the recycling center?
That's a really good question, and I don't have all the answers to that.
Okay.
I know that there's limitations on it, and if you don't use it for the intended purpose, it has to go back. I believe in 5 years. So it's something, and we talked about this for the regulations, subdivision regulations on fire protection and how to do that properly. And there might be ways to do it, and that would be a good thing that we could put into the evaluations.
Well, I know Epping before they had, I was teaching there when before they had Walmart and everything, but they have a broad range of impact fees.
Right.
That I believe they divvy it up. Yeah. To several things, not just a road and the recycling per se. So I just wondered how you get those categories, how many you can have. Does it go to a town vote? Is it something, I mean, I don't know how it works.
Most of the impact fees are in the regulations, so it wouldn't necessarily have to go to the town legislative body.
Okay.
It can be done through a public hearing.
Okay.
In regulations. We'll be doing a lot of outreach and research to find out on that. excuse me. Want to complete the village district proposal, which we kind of stopped at the end of the year. we want to implement the transportation plan, which is a great document, excellent document. excuse me. Update our rules of procedure. Update the sign regulations. We haven't looked at that for a while. Update the townwide build-out analysis. So that would be the major things. One of the things I put together, and I think we'll probably do it at the next planning board meeting, is to go over the agriculturally related regulations. There was a lot of misinformation on that. We found out a lot of good information, so we're going to try to do that, I think. The one I have down the bottom is just what we're getting documents to the individual planning board members. Everybody's off the screen. Excuse me.
Yeah, Rudy, when you get to the subdivision regulations, could you put something in there that helps us avoid what happened on New Boston Road where somebody clear cut about 15 acres?
Yes.
And then it caused this huge erosion problem. And when the DES guy was here, he recommended that we have some kind of limits on, you know, how much of a lot can be cleared and how much of a building envelope, you know, we should allow. You know, leave some of that vegetation in there. Dennis, do you recall what the DES guys...
Yeah, he had a lot of suggestions after he looked over that site, and one of them was limits of clearing.
Right.
And then after a certain point, you know, say you set a 75-foot radius, whatever the number is, and after that they need a plan showing all the details.
Yeah.
You know, if the slopes are so much, then you need a drainage plan. You need a, you know, he had a number of suggestions to avoid that in the future, and I'm sure he would give us a what's worked in other towns and what hasn't.
So that would be my recommendation for the.
But wouldn't enforcement, I mean, it's not, you could have every rule you want, but if no one's enforcing it or checking it.
Well,
you know.
If it's, we would have to have it on the plans for the limits of clear.
Right, but once you cut a tree, you can't tape it back up. I mean, people can do, I mean, who's enforcing?
Well, Sue, first you have to have something to enforce.
Right.
You start with the regulation first.
Right, but I thought.
The building inspector would be the.
Right, okay.
You suggested these things would be on the building permit, you know.
Okay.
You hate to have to put things, what most of us would consider obvious.
Well, common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most builders don't do what that person did, but it only takes a few to make it harder for everybody else.
There are four other houses in that same area that we never had problems with because they just cleared enough to build a house. No erosion.
See,
yeah, good point.
But there's nothing in our regulations that prohibited what this guy did.
Right, well.
Oh, I thought there was.
There is a regulation, DOT permit, if you're gonna clear.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, if you're gonna go in and cut the trees and rip out the stumps.
Anyway.
And move the dirt up the hill, that's AOT.
Yeah.
That's alteration of terrain.
Which he never bothered.
And nobody.
Yeah, enforcement.
So the rules are there.
We didn't catch it.
That's okay.
Until people drove by and it's like, what's this?
Yeah.
But that's, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
For certain slopes, like, you know, like you said, get some guidelines. Obviously, if somebody's got a field and they wanna grow corn, well, that's okay, but there's gotta be certain critical slopes, or if you've got a bunch of ledge underneath, like up there. You know, so
or steep,
you gotta steep slopes and ledge, and yeah, it makes sense. We learned a lesson that that's a good idea. Yeah, I think it would be because AOT, there's a certain minimum acreage.
100,000 feet.
So if we don't hit that, you know, even on a small lot, we could have it on the plan, and it makes sense.
Yep. But can I just ask a question? If I lived in that house now, one of those houses that's fine, didn't have any problems, and I wanted to clear my backyard, that probably would create a problem. How do you stop someone on their own property from doing that?
We can't. Once we approve a house lot and someone builds a house on it, you basically can do whatever you want
right.
on your land,
right.
As far as the town's concerned. However, if you create a problem outside of your lot lines, then it becomes basically, I don't know who would be responsible for what, because it would depend on what would go on.
What the problem was.
DES might be if, you know, if all of a sudden there was a mud pile down on North Road
right.
again. You know, that would go back to saying, like, hey, you just can't do that by state law. We don't really have anything
okay.
once a house lot
I'm
is
just
approved
curious.
To go back on someone.
And I'm not a real big rule, you know, telling everybody what to do with their own property
no.
and like that, but I mean, I just was curious about those houses, if they did want to cut it.
I think most of those people that are in there now like the fact that it's wooded. And they can just sit on their back deck and look over the top of the trees.
Yeah.
That's all they cleared.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think somebody in that situation knows there's ledge and, you know, some common sense at that point, too.
Well,
no, I mean, hopefully they've lived there. They know they can't put a tennis court in or what have you at that point.
Yeah.
No pool going in there? No.
They could build, you know, they could build walls and build up and do all kinds of stuff
yeah,
like that.
Right.
That's a rough.
Well, probably financially, it probably wouldn't be wise
right.
to do
yeah.
much else. Okay.
No, Dennis and I are both running, and the building inspector wondering about the house that the foundation is in. What house, the driveway, I mean, the garage that's 10 feet above the ground level. Okay. That's going to be interesting.
No, thank you very much for telling us
sure.
about all that.
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, just, you know, let us know through the liaison if there's anything we can do. Like I said, we'll try to keep you updated on that.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks
any
for
other
the
comments?
Thanks, Rudy.
Thank you.
Any other business? I'll start with Russ.
No, I'm fine.
All
Boyd?
Set.
I'm all set.
Oh, I had one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last meeting, we voted on abating a gentleman from Auburn's tax interest on a small piece of property that he inherited. and I'm not going to redact my vote or anything, but I'm going to admit publicly, I think I voted in the wrong direction on that instance.
And I agree, because I voted the other way, so I don't know if you need my approval, of course, but
no,
yeah.
That's
you,
just
you
a public
that.
Comment,
yep.
And I just wanted to be clear that my vote, I voted incorrectly, my personal feeling.
And how did you come to that realization?
How did I come to that realization? The lien on the property went with the property. The gentleman inherited the property, and along with the inheritance, he inherited the taxes that went with it. And if there was a penalty on the taxes because somebody didn't pay them, he didn't have to accept the property as an inheritance. He could have left it there, and the town could have taken it for taxes. So that's and it don't really matter how I came to that. It's my I did say at that time we spoke, I did say I thought 18% was a little high. The gentleman was here trying to make amends, and that didn't hold any weight at the time.
Yeah,
and,
which
so anyway.
I thought we were going to lower the interest.
Yeah, but that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
So can you get that in the minutes, please?
We'll get that in the minutes.
Okay,
we'll
thank
move on.
You.
Nothing else.
Okay, and I think the only comment I have is going to be under calendar anyway. It's called the joint meeting.
You know what? Okay, no, we do have it. That's the payroll one.
Oh, no, I know I've got
okay.
to do that, but
okay.
I don't have anything in the other business.
Okay,
Boy,
sorry.
Do you mind reading the...
No.
Thank you.
Payroll for the week ending February 21st was $15,349.56. The week ending February 28th was $15,865.64. Payables for February 21st, $55,817.55. The following week, they were $39,533.49 for a combined total of $126,566.24.
We'll take a motion.
I move we authorize the disbursements as I just read.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Under the calendar, a couple of things. Meet the candidates night is going to be March 5th. And I think there's only one contested race. Is that correct, Mr. Snow?
Yes.
Trustee of the trust. All right. And that'll be at 6:30 at the library over there on March 5th. Selectmen's meeting next one, March 11th, the day before voting. Voting on March 12th at the CYAA. I think everyone's got the hang of that now, 6 a.m. to 7. And we are still, I'm still waiting for Matt to get information back with the school board as far as having some type of a joint meeting with school board, selectmen, planning board, whoever else would like to be involved. He's having a hard time getting some commitments. Did you have something?
Yeah, the election, whoever's in charge.
He's got that, Scott.
Make sure the wheelchairs are there because there's been a few people that would like some assistance. It's a long walk from them doors to the voting table.
Where do we get the wheelchairs?
I think, I don't know, somebody went out and got some last time we were over there in the middle of the day, so.
Like a nursing home or something like that, we borrowed
them? I don't know if the fire department, I don't know if the
I don't think they have a wheelchair, but
no.
I don't know. They had, we need a wheelchair.
Sure.
Need
a couple of wheels.
Help the people.
Okay.
Sure.
Well,
you'll figure out where to get one.
We're going to have to, the town may have to have their own.
Well, let's get some then. Yeah.
Oh, you might.
I don't think we do nothing for the old people in Candia. Absolutely
he could,
nothing.
I'll bet you he could get some from Honor Flight. I will bet.
Honor Flight? Okay.
Yeah, they have like 30
I think
we're going to
ask is, scouts might even have some contacts.
They might?
In there too. So maybe there's a number.
Oh, okay. Sure. You're going to.
I can ask him tonight.
You want me to ask the scouts?
Mm-hmm.
Any other?
So four, Carlton, do you think that would be adequate?
I think two would be
two.
More than
two is
I
enough?
Think one would really give us a good start.
Yeah, one.
One would be really good, and if somebody had to wait 10 minutes, I think that would be all right, and I think we should own one ourselves. So
okay.
That's what I think. We own everything else. If we had to have some tables, we couldn't use these or anything else. We didn't borrow them from the Boy Scouts. We bought some.
They're, you can rent them.
Oh.
You can rent them. And I mean, for us to own it, it's going to sit there for
a year.
12 months every right. year. So what I'm saying is you can get a rental hospital places and whatnot.
I think we should just...
Some years we have four elections over there. Maybe five,
yeah,
I think.
We'll buy it. Yeah.
Sometimes we have four or five elections. Sometimes we only have one. I think...
We should just own our own equipment.
Someone has to run around and go pick up a wheelchair for rental and bring it back and get the slip. I think if we owned a wheelchair to accommodate the old people.
But I can understand that, Russ.
No, I think for this time right now, I'm looking at some places to contact that we can.
I think on Facebook you might find people have them left over that they might even donate to the town.
There you go.
Can
we get a used one?
Well, it's going to be used. It's going to be used after the first time anyway. So why don't we check on?
Find a used one.
Town of Candy's looking for you.
Yeah, Town of Candy. Maximum price $25.
That's all we're going to go. Sorry.
Listen. We don't even know if we have our budget for a couple of weeks. Let's just take it easy till we find out what we're going to get here. So.
But yeah, we should have one. We should have one.
Into that again.
We want something that
I would get too.
I thought it was all set from last time. I thought we had that all taken care of from the last election. And we end up in one of these, you know, a laughing stock for 5 minutes here about a wheelchair at the
We're trying to just, we're almost at the end count. We're just trying to go with the flow and get this done. So Scott, we will check into that.
All right.
Good. There'll be at least two wheelchairs there. They might be used, they might not work, but they'll be there. How's that come?
That'd be great. So
just kidding.
Get them greased up.
Yeah. WD-40. Okay.
Snow tires.
So again, Matt's working on that joint meeting. We'll get that together. Probably not till after the new board's in place anyway, because he'll have a new member also. So I think we're looking at March something. Okay, public comment. Any comments? Dennis.
One thing. At the deliberative session, there was a comment made that the town didn't own the Fitz Museum. So it's been a few calls at my house wondering who did own it. And as far as I know, the town does own it. But there was a comment made that they didn't. And that was the difference between the Smith Memorial Building and the Fitz Museum. And I guess...
Is it because of the trustees?
One of the trustees would like the clarification of that.
Okay. I was going to say, is it because of the...
I think it's owned by the town. We were always under the assumption it was.
Carlton, you're the expert. Do you know
about
that?
Well, I'm not an expert on that one, but maybe, possibly Dennis is right, but if that is the case, then I'm going to say this publicly. Them trustees at that building ought to be held to the same standard that the trustees of another building might be.
But as far as I know, the town owns
it. Well, through the communication over the years, it might be a little misleading.
If not, I guess who does own it?
Do you want it? We'll look into that. How's that?
Who does?
Check the deeds.
Is that building handicapped accessible?
Oh, let's not go there.
Well, that's the point.
No, it's one of them.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of points.
Yeah. There's a lot of points. That's and we've always just left that. That's been a keepsake of ours in the town, that building, and
right.
You put a few people in charge of taking care of it, and nobody bothers them. And then we had another one, we got a little business, a little building that a few people were taking care of, and everybody bothers the other side of the street, and they're right across from each other. So
okay.
You go figure.
So we'll look into that. Thank you for bringing that up.
A comment like that might come up.
I mean, people are wondering.
We'll get facts.
Well, that's probably why they're wondering, because other people might be a little confused on that also.
Right. All right, we'll get facts. I don't have the answer. I don't think anybody on the board, it sounds like they don't either. So we will find out how that works. How's that? Okay, I'm almost afraid. Any other public comment?
Do we vote for them trustees?
No, we appoint.
Guys appoint them.
We appoint. Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I thought.
Right. Yeah. Same as the other.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Move to adjourn.
Okay. No other public comment. You move to adjourn. Do I have a second?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
One more meeting, huh?
Thank you, Dennis.
Have a good night.
Chief, how are you? How's the new guy doing?
Doing all right.
Doing all right.